Two. Testing two. So I'm a sound guy now. So all you have to do to be a sound guy is be able to say the word two repeatedly into the microphone. Two. That's a kind of a theater joke. There's a longer theater joke about sound guys, but I'm not gonna do it right now. What's up, Randy? How's it going? Here we are. God, it's been a while. I've been working my ass off again and neglecting stating the obvious. I'm getting closer to launching the third podcast in the Stating the Obvious series. I also need to do an edition of Cult of Personality sometime soon. I need to do a lot of things. Coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. It's a lovely Friday morning here in Fort Collins, Colorado, People's Republic of. We're soon the government will be spying in your backyards to make sure you don't have excessive amounts of clutter. This is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. God, I fucking hate statists. God damn it, I hate statists. I did a statist purge on Facebook. I'm not going to talk about that today. Well, not the specific one, anyhow. Oh, I had some statist friend of mine who, like, real friend in real life, not Facebook friend type. Because for the most part, I only Facebook friend people that I actually know in the real world. I'm not one of these, you know, people who has this need to friend everybody on Facebook, so I feel like I have actual friends. Anyhow, this moron who I had to unfriend on Facebook, you know, posted this rant about how libertarians are immature because they just don't understand that there are some things only the state can do. It was my breaking point. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. I've been working for a while on living my life statist free, and by that I mean taking people who are excessively statist and getting rid of them. After that moment, I decided essentially to double my efforts at getting people who are statist out of my life. So I had just done a Facebook friend purge before that where I got rid of a bunch of people. It's like, if I look at your name and photo on Facebook and I don't know who the fuck you are, that means that you're getting purged. And so I did a purge where I got rid of, oh God, like 60 people. Maybe not 60, maybe 40 people. And then that happened, and I went back and I had another purging where I got rid of people who are known statist. Oh, I feel so much better now. So much better now. This is Stating the Obvious, podcast brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. I am the Great One himself, in the control room on the other side of the glass, seen but not heard, as women should be, is the lovely and adorable Randy. What's up, babes? I start off by pissing off as many feminazis as possible first thing in the morning. It is Friday morning. It is, what month are we in? February, March, April, May, June. June the 21st. We're on the internet, cynlibsoc.com. You can send us email if you want to. You can send us your hates. You can send us your love. You can send us your ideas. You can send us naked pictures of yourself if you're hot. You can send all of that to God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, G-O-D, at cynlibsoc.com. I had a bunch of short things on the list today. I just really felt the need to sit down, talk to the microphone, get some stuff out of my system. Where to start? I've been ragging on women a lot lately, and I'm going to keep ragging on women a lot because you guys deserve it. Well, let's start off. So boys, men, guys, dudes, whatever you want to call yourself, I have a question. Because I've heard this from men more than once. And I'm really baffled by this. I'm honestly fucking baffled by this. Okay, guys. What is it with you and toilet paper? Here's the thing. I hear men bitching about how much toilet paper women use. Okay, yeah, my bitch, she went in the toilet and she took a shit. She used half a roll of toilet paper. And okay, half a roll of toilet paper, first of all, is probably an exaggeration, but not necessarily. Second of all, half a roll of toilet paper is a little bit much. Okay, I'm with you on this. But then, guys always follow this up with, when I take a shit, I use one square toilet paper to wipe my ass. And this is like... And they're so proud of this. Like, I wiped my ass with one square toilet paper. I'm amazing. Those of you who are women may think I'm making this up. Okay. Women, I am not fucking making this up. Oh, yeah, when I wipe my ass, I only use one square toilet paper. I don't understand why my bitch needs to use half a roll. Okay, guys, what is this fucking badge of courage you get from using one square of toilet paper to wipe your ass? Okay, now I'm a guy. I'm a man. I have the nutsack to prove it. I have the cock that will go right in your mouth to prove I am a fucking man, okay? And I shit. I shit sometimes multiple times a day. I take me a good shit almost every morning. And after I shit, I wipe my ass. And I'm here to tell you that a man's ass cannot be wiped with one fucking square of toilet paper and get all the shit off of it. So what this tells me is that you guys are walking around with shit on your ass. And why you think this is a great thing and why you're proud of this, I'm really fucking unclear about that. When I wipe my ass, I use however much toilet paper I need to wipe my ass until there's no more shit on my ass. I also use baby wipes. Because if you think you can get all the shit off your ass with just toilet paper, you're wrong. Plus, toilet paper is really actually rough. People don't realize this. But I need to know, guys, what is this fucking obsession you have with wiping your ass with only one sheet of toilet paper? Because I'm honestly pretty fucking baffled by this. Girls, women, ladies, females, chicks, whatever you want to call yourself, I have a question for you. So after you've gone to the bathroom and you've used half a roll of toilet paper to wipe your ass the way men think you do, you're looking in the mirror. How in the fuck do you not notice that you have a mustache? And did you know that facial hair on women is not attractive? Now, I don't know about where you guys are at, but here in Fort Collins, there's this weird mustache fetish in Fort Collins. Like, guys like to grow these mustaches and they put like gel on them and hairspray and shit so that they stick way out and they get huge. And there's this thing where, you know, chicks are always running around making mustaches out of everything, and they actually have mustaches tattooed on their fingers. And every time they're going to take a picture with their fucking cell phone, they stick their finger on their upper lip so that the mustache is showing, and they make the little duck lips thingy. And it's like just all the time you see pictures of chicks with these fake mustaches and shit. Like it's a thing. It's some kind of thing here in Fort Collins, mustaches and chicks doing fake mustaches. Well, I don't know why you're doing fake mustaches, because so many of you actually have mustaches. So chicks, girls, women, ladies, do you not see the hair on your upper lip? Because when your mustache is thicker than mine and you're sitting around going, I can't find any decent men, well, maybe if you get the fucking hair off your upper lip, because it's not attractive, okay? And hair on the upper lip pretty much immediately disqualifies a woman from ever getting to taste my cock. And there's probably a lot of other men who feel the same way. You know, that and, of course, if you use half a roll of toilet paper to wipe your ass, because according to men, you're only supposed to use one fucking square. You know, I can see this escalating in the future as there's like this war, you know. Yeah, well, I use the same sheet of toilet paper 3 times to wipe my ass. You know, another guy, I take one sheet of toilet paper and I cut it into quarters. And I wipe my ass with a quarter of a sheet. Yeah, look how manly I am. I have a mustache too. Yeah. Girls, you can get your upper lip waxed for like $12. I saw somewhere, heard somewhere, it was on Stefan Molyneux said this on one of his podcasts when he was talking to somebody about stuff like this. Or maybe it was his guest host who was, I want to say, Warren Jeffries. I might have the name wrong, though. Do I have this book? No, I don't. All right, anyway, it came up that apparently, and I haven't independently verified this, so it could be bullshit, but they were saying that the average amount of money the average woman spends on beauty products per month is around $1,000. And I'm thinking, okay, at $1,000 a month, you could take $12 of that and fucking wax the goddamn mustache on your upper lip. I'm serious. God damn it, bitches. A hairy upper lip. Okay, I mean, unless you're a motherfucking Bigfoot, you need to do something about that shit. Okay, you need to go watch Eddie Murphy's stand-up comedy routine called Raw. And when he gets to the part about Aunt Bunny is a Bigfoot, okay, they're fucking talking about you. Get the fucking hair off your upper lip. All right, I'm serious about this. When you have a fucking thicker mustache than I do after I haven't shaved for 3 fucking days, there is something fucking wrong. Let me check those off of my list. Got it. Done. Statist free. I did statist free. I'm working on living state. It's like going gluten free, right? Oh, that reminds me. So here we go. This is one of the reasons people get pissed off at me. First of all, because I'm always right. And second of all, because I don't believe in murdering other people like they do. But people also get pissed off at me because I say I'm always right. And you can't always be right. You're an asshole. I'm an asshole. That's true. You got that part correct. Here's why I'm always right. The reason I'm always right is because when I'm wrong, I figure it out, admit to it, change it, deal with it, what so forth, so on. Because remember, I didn't start off this way, right? Remember, for those of you who have listened to the story of my political progression, remember, when I started off, I was a commie lib, left-wing Democrat idiot. And then I made the progression through all sorts of political spectrums until I finally landed upon the truth, which is the non-violence principle and property rights, which is a concept that you don't own other people and that killing other people is wrong, and it doesn't matter if, you know, you're black and you're the president of the United States, you still don't get to murder people in foreign countries with flying robots just because a bunch of mindless fuckhead statists, you know, think that you're God. Okay, gluten-free. So, back when this whole gluten-free suddenly started erupting around here in the Fort Collins area, I, of course, naturally made fun of these people. The reason I made fun of these people, other than the fact that most of them are liberal statists who believe that Obama is God and believe that Obama can kill people in foreign countries with flying robots, and at the same time is this morally wonderful human being who cares about the old people and the poor people and all this other shit. You know, I made fun of these people for not being able to eat food. Now, I did all of this from a place of ignorance because I didn't actually know what gluten was. Because I didn't really give a fuck. Because it's one of those things, when I see somebody and I know they're a statist and something comes out of their mouth, I'm going to make fun of it no matter what it is because they're a statist. So anyhow, later on, I found out that gluten is part of wheat. And of course, as those of us who have common sense know, wheat is not really part of a natural human diet because I am a semi-paleo. I'm in the paleo cult. I'm not hardcore paleo. God knows I eat pizza every now and then. But, you know, my point is that reducing the amount of wheat that I have consumed in my diet has done wonders for me. So now that I know what gluten is, it's like, oh, now it's still a little weird to people that, of course, then I shouldn't say it's a little weird. I should say it kind of makes sense, actually, when people say, oh, I can't eat gluten because it fucks up my body. Well, of course it fucks up your body. It's not designed to be eaten by people. It's wheat. People don't fucking eat wheat, at least not naturally. Wheat is a very cheap food to produce and to grow and distribute, and it has a long shelf life, blah, blah, blah. It's basically, it's slave food. You know, wheat is the sort of thing you feed your slaves because you want them to have enough energy to keep doing the work, but you don't want them to have enough energy to actually rebel and kick your ass and get their own freedom. So gluten is essentially a slave diet. It's the Monsanto diet, as I saw in one little meme on Facebook, which at some point I need to be reposting and talking about. I need to do a lot of things. I need to talk about some Facebook memes, which actually aren't even memes. They're just pictures with text on them. But I was at a meetup group I do, social media roundtable. We were talking about how the word meme has been corrupted to, it doesn't actually mean what a meme is anymore. Now it means a picture with text on it. Anyway, it has nothing to do with gluten. The point is, I made fun of people who don't eat gluten without knowing what gluten was. Now that I know what gluten is, I understand why some people don't eat gluten, and I understand why some people are actually gluten intolerant. Because wheat and shit that has a lot of gluten in it is not a fucking natural human food. It's a slave food. I'm still going to make fun of statists, though, and most of the people I know who are gluten-free are still liberal, commie, hippie types here in Fort Collins anyway. But then again, most of the people I know are liberal, commie, hippie, Obama cocksucking types because this place is just a magnet for those people. All right, status free, gluten free. Yes, get this shit out of your life. Get people who are idiots out of your life. Live your life status free and gluten free. At least almost gluten free. You know, a pizza every now and then is totally okay. Let's talk about book reviews. I finished. Hold on. There it is. I finished the book Digital Vertigo by Andrew Keen. It was okay. I don't highly recommend it, but it's a fairly interesting read. It's just kind of highfalutin for me. I picked up, excuse me, I finished Trust Me, I'm Lying by Ryan Holiday. If you haven't read that, you have to read that. Basically, it's about manipulating the media by manipulating the blogosphere. It's great. Talks about a lot of stuff that I know and that I do. I did it with the last podcast. The last podcast I did was about Caitlin Hunt, and I made sure and got that in there, and a lot of that was just me attempting to ride the Caitlin Hunt wave. I'm going to get back to her in a minute. Talk a little bit more about that. I got You and the Police by Boston Tea Party, which has been recommended multiple times by Michael W. Dean over at Freedom Fiends Podcast and Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. I've been spot reading that. It's really interesting, so I'm going to sit down soon and read that all the way through. I also just got Who Owns the Future by Jaron Lanier, and I may totally be mispronouncing his name. Jaron, J-A-R-O-N, Lanier, L-A-N-I-E-R. This is the same guy who wrote the book You Are Not a Gadget. And this book came after You're Not a Gadget. And I can't remember if I've talked about the You Are Not a Gadget book or not. I know I was intending to, but of course, as those of you listening to this podcast know, I have lots of intentions, and the road to hell was paved with intentions, and my road to hell is a 8-lane superhighway with one of those elevated platforms for the mass transit. This book, I've opened it up just a couple of times here and there and spot read a few things, and it looks like it's going to be pretty goddamn brilliant. I just want to read a short section out of this, and this was the thing. I just randomly opened the book and looked for something good, and I found this. Let me read this real quick so that you know what creepiness means, how he's using creepy. He's not using creepy in the term that college girls use creepy to describe anything which is outside of their experience and outside of their understanding. Here's what he says, quote, creepiness is when information systems undermine individual human agency. Let me read a couple of paragraphs here for you. Like I said, these are just random paragraphs from this book, and this illustrates just how brilliant this book is going to be. I can tell already. I've also read a couple of things in here I already disagree with, but again, for those of you who have listened to this podcast before know that, as I've said, you can't agree with anybody all the time, and second of all, you have to expose yourself to ideas you disagree with. That's the only way you're going to intellectually grow. This is why those of you who are statist will always be statist, because you're terrified of any opinion that's different than yours, and you're not going to go anywhere near an opinion that's different than yours, because you are so emotionally and intellectually fragile that your worldview cannot stand being challenged. And I had to make a note there for some. All right, here we go. Yes. Yes, exactly. All right, here we go. Machine vision, this is quoting from the book, Who Owns the Future? Machine vision has massive creepiness potential. Weren't wars fought and many lives lost precisely to prevent governments from gaining this kind of power, knowing where everyone is all the time? And yet now, because of some cultural trends, we're suddenly happy to offer exactly the same power to a few companies in California, along with whomever will come along with enough money to piggyback on them. Long ago, working on the movie Minority Report, I proposed that billboards might grab the hero's face and implant it in the ads. Then he'd never be able to run away from the police because they could just watch to see where he popped up in billboards. State surveillance without the state having to lift a finger. That's a classic siren server ploy, keeping an arm's length and yet enjoying information superiority. I even made a demo at the time. Sure enough, Facebook is now bringing your friends' faces into ads, and location-based services are already targeting ads on mobile phones to specific people when they go to specific places. Where is it all leading? The trend is towards even more creepiness. Any of the technologies I described earlier that might put masses of people out of work will also have vivid creepiness potential. The more a society bases itself on the wrong model of automated efficiency, the more potential there is for sudden outbreaks of evil. There will be more players who are motivated to act outside of a social contract. There's a lot of brilliant stuff in this book like that. He also makes, and here I'm going to paraphrase an argument he's making in a book. I read this and I'm like, wow, okay, this guy is pretty fucking brilliant. Even when he's wrong, he's still pretty fucking brilliant. Google makes money by selling advertising. When you're advertising, you're typically selling a product or you're selling a service. You could be selling both. Maybe you're selling something else. You could be selling information. Maybe you call that a service. I don't know. But the point is, you know, it's the year 2013. For those of you who haven't heard, 3D printers are here. Within 10 years, people are going to have 3D printers in their home. It's going to happen. Well, unless the government makes it illegal, and I think there's a very good chance the government is going to make 3D printers illegal. Because, of course, you can make guns with them. But 3D printers are here. If a 3D printer appears in everybody's home, and this is the example he uses in the book, he says, so right now, if you make guitars, you pay to advertise to sell your guitars to people. However, if everybody can print a guitar in their home with their 3D printer, then the people who are advertising guitars are no longer paying money to advertise their products. So when all of the advertising money from products starts to dry up, how does Google make their money? Because Google's entire business model is free information. So if the information for how to print a guitar can be gotten for free, you don't need to actually buy a guitar anymore. So people who manufacture guitars go out of business. They don't spend money on advertising. Where does Google's revenue come from? And of course, my answer to that question is, at some point, that Gmail account you have, the Google Voice account you have, and the YouTube account you have are going to start costing you money. Because as technology replaces more products, and as technology puts more people out of work, and as technology does all the things technology is maybe the wrong word. You know, as the creepiness of the internet destroys more jobs and puts more people out of work and replaces more, you know, as guitar manufacturers are replaced by 3D printers, as that sort of thing happens, advertising revenue at some point is going to start to dry up. I mean, there's going to come this point where everybody in the United States is a computer programmer, because there's not going to really be any fucking industry left, right? And so the internet to a large extent is already just a bunch of people who do SEO and build websites advertising to other people who do SEO and build websites. You know, and the day is going to come when that's all it is. And when everybody has a website, then who's going to be your client? So how are you going to make money? So why are you going to spend money on the advertising? Okay, so I do believe that he's got a point here. The advertising dollars are obviously never going to dry up completely, right? There's always going to be some level of advertising. But as the advertising dollars get smaller, I do think Google inevitably is going to have to find another way to make money. I do have to wonder if that is going to be charging you money for your Google accounts. Speaking of Google and how much Google sucks. See, I did book reviews. Good, check that off. Now we're on to YouTube. Google, and Google sucks. My God, have you seen the new YouTube channels? Talk about the ugliest goddamn piece of shit. The most user unfriendly. It amazes me how Google... It also amazes me how, like, I know people who just worship Google, and all of them are left-wing, all of them are Obama humpers, all of them hate corporations, all of them hate capitalism, and yet they just love Google. They think Google is just the greatest thing in the history of the universe. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar international corporation that sells your personal information to other corporations. And yet they think it's just so wonderful. But of course they hate corporations. The new YouTube is a giant clusterfuck. The UI is terrible. There's the shit in there is absolutely disgusting. So I got in the new YouTube and it forces me to upgrade to the new channel and all this other shit. So then it says, hey, do you want to create... Basically forced me to... Oh, my brain hurts because I'm thinking about YouTube and it's making my brain hurt. And I needed more coffee. All right, better now. So I upgrade the new YouTube channel because I was required to do so by Google. And it says, okay, now we're going to create a... I almost called it Facebook. We're going to create a Facebook page for you. We're going to create a Google Plus page for your YouTube account. And I'm like, oh God, that's completely fucking useless to me. So they created this goddamn Google Plus page. Now, of course, Google Plus is a fucking wasteland. I am at this meeting of people who use social media this week, And our subject was Google Plus. It was hilarious because they were like, oh my God, I can't talk. They were like, oh my God, like totally. There was, 15 people there who are all some degree social media users or social media wannabe users. And by that, I mean use a social media for advertising, because God knows nobody uses social media to be social. It's all about fucking pushing your product or pushing your service. It's amazing. You know, I got away from television. I eliminated television and radio from my life because I don't like advertisements. And you go to social media, and what is it? It's all advertisements. Anyhow, there's 15 people here. And it's like, okay, so who here uses Google Plus? Not one single person. And we're like, well, somebody says, well, I guess that wraps that up, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, that illustrates the point. Nobody is on Google Plus. Yeah, Google is claiming that Google Plus usage is going up and all this other stuff. Well, here's why. Because, like, for example, me, I have multiple Gmail accounts. Okay, so every Gmail account also has a Google Plus page, which I never use. Then, from my Google account, I have a YouTube account. And so then I go into YouTube, I have four, one of which I never use, but I have four, technically speaking, YouTube accounts. Well, guess what? Google has created for each YouTube account a Google Plus page. So there's another set of Google Plus pages that I never use. So Google sits there and goes, why, look how many Google Plus pages there are. Look how many users we have. But it's all people that are actually not using Google Plus. So I probably have somewhere in the range of, if I looked for them, 10 to 15 Google Plus pages, none of which I use. So Google, just the way they massage their statistics just kills me. So anyhow, back to YouTube. So I fucking created this page because I had to, because Google forces you to do this to up their statistics and make themselves look good. So then I'm in the YouTube and I'm doing some stuff and I'm looking at the settings and trying to figure out how to configure shit. And I see this button that says, disconnect your Google Plus page and your YouTube channel. And I'm like, oh, that's great. I can disconnect this YouTube page that I was just forced to create and not have it and not have to deal with it. That's wonderful. So I click on the goddamn button, and this was one of those giant mistakes. So if you're a YouTube user, fucking heed my warning. When you click on the button, here's what happens. It does not disconnect the Google Plus page from your YouTube channel. It disconnects the YouTube channel from your Google Plus page. Now you're thinking, what's the difference? Here's the difference. You are now your Google Plus page. So when you disconnect your YouTube channel, guess what? You've just locked yourself out of your YouTube channel. You are no longer the administrator of your YouTube channel. You no longer have any control over your YouTube channel. I finally got back in. Don't ask me how, because I couldn't tell you. I spent like an hour tooling around in the thing, using multiple browsers, trying to log in here, trying to log in there, trying to figure this shit out. Oh my God, it was a fucking nightmare. I have no clue how I managed to reconnect my YouTube channel to my Google Plus page, but I did it. So that's the thing. You're not even, from the Google's perspective, you're now. So now when I log into YouTube, it's like, do you want to use YouTube as your Gmail account, or do you want to use YouTube as your Google Plus page? They're two separate accounts, and I can only access the channel if I'm using YouTube as the page. If I'm using YouTube as the Gmail user, it's not my YouTube account anymore, because it's been, and so Google is creating all of these, essentially it's taken one user and split it into two users, so it can say, look how many people are using Google Plus. It's all just horseshit. I really fucking hate Google. The only part of Google I like is Google Voice. That's really useful and really helpful. And of course, the reason Google Voice is free is because they listen to all of your voicemails, and they're using that to work on their what do you call it, text to voice, voice to text, and translation services that they will be offering. You know, so Google's doing that because what they're getting is all these samples of different voices from, you know, all around the United States and probably all around the world, which they can then analyze and put that into their database. Another little YouTube hint for you. If you use Google Hangouts to record video chats and video conferencings and things like that, do not set it so that after your Google Plus Hangout video chat, do not set your settings so that it is automatically posted to YouTube. One of the channels I subscribe to, they uploaded a new video and I went to look at it. And what it was the guy trying to make the camera work, and he was not being successful at making the camera work, but the microphone was working. And so there was a lot of bad language, to include him calling the camera something to the effect of a goddamn faggot. And, you know, and again, those of you listening to the podcast know I have no problem with bad language. Okay, but see, that's me. Right, when your podcast / videocast is supposedly intellectual and free of bad language, you might want to not post videos of you referring to the camera as a goddamn faggot and using, you know, motherfucker and bitch and all this other shit. Like I said, me, I cuss all the fucking time. How I've made it this far in the podcast without screaming out the word fuck multiple times, I'm not really sure. I think it's just because I'm pretty relaxed and mellow this morning. Don't worry, that'll change at some point in the future. So yeah, don't post videos on YouTube of you using the word faggot, especially when you are, you know, claiming to not discriminate against people for being homosexuals. Because some homosexuals might be offended by that. Just a thought. And now I don't need any comments below saying that I've used the word gay, because yes, I know I've used the word gay in a derogatory sense. And somewhere I've explained why I do that, and I'm not going to do it now. But basically, it's because words change. Remember, gay used to mean happy until homosexual people changed the meaning of the word. Well, the meaning of the word has changed again. Gay now means gay. It has nothing to do with sexual preference, at least not in my world. You don't like that? Oh, fuck you. Deal with it. See, that's being a statist. Being a statist. What is being a statist? I listened to the Anarchy Gumbo podcast where Michael W. Dean interviews Stefan Molyneux. It was brilliant. I mean, it was Stefan Molyneux at his fucking most brilliant. Like, if I was going to say to some, if I was going to expose somebody to Stefan who had never experienced Stefan before, that's what I would play for them. It was absolutely brilliant. And the discussion came up about, you know, what is a statist? Because this is really, I think it's difficult to encapsulate. And yet you have to, let's talk about, oh, back to YouTube for a second. I get stupid comments on YouTube a lot off. Meh, that's not true. I very seldom get comments on YouTube, which is great. Typically, they're stupid. Most of the comments I get are stupid. That's the accurate statement. And somebody left a comment on one about how I had called another person a statist. And the idiot who was commenting, you know, was throwing out the thing, you're calling people as names. You're calling this person a statist. You're labeling. I've talked about this before. I love how people are always opposed to labels, and yet of course they use labels themselves, and as I've said before, people are only opposed to the labels that apply to them. They have no problem applying labels to other people. But I really get sick of people who think that, so I sit there and I say, killing people in foreign countries is wrong, especially when you do it with flying robots. It doesn't matter if you're the president, so stop being a fucking statist. And then people respond to that by saying, you can't label people as a statist. Well, yes, I can label people as a statist, because if you're a fucking statist, then you're a statist. And this whole thing about how you can't label, no, you can label people, okay? Labels fucking have meanings. A chair is a chair. You can label a chair as a chair, okay? A statist is a fucking statist. And you can label a statist as a statist. And when I say that statists are people who believe in murdering other people and murdering other people is wrong, and you say you can't label people as a statist, you're not in any way disproving or refuting my thesis that killing other people is wrong. What you're doing is essentially saying, great one, I'm a fucking idiot, and I can't refute your thesis that killing other people is wrong. I just believe other people, killing other people is wrong because I'm an evil cocksucking motherfucker and I'm a statist. And so instead of refuting your thesis, which I can't refute, I'm just going to talk about the fact that you're labeling other people. So look, you can't label other people as a statist if they are a statist. This is not fucking rocket science. So what is a statist? This is how we got to Stefan. Because in the thing, Michael's like, Stefan earlier said, you know, I don't really have this litmus test for what is not a statist, what is a statist, what's an ANCAP, you know, what's a libertarian, blah, blah, blah. But then as they're talking, you know, he comes around, and of course Stefan acknowledges the humor in this. He's like, you know, you do have to be able to say, here's, in order to be an ANCAP, there has to be something you're not doing, okay? And I think conversely, this is me thinking, not Stefan, I think conversely, in order to be a statist, there has to be something you're doing. And one good definition of that, you know, is, are you violating the non-aggression principle, right? If you violate the non-aggression principle, you are a statist. And you don't have to fucking like the label, you just have to deal with it. If you don't violate the non-aggression principle, then you are an anarcho-capitalist, possibly. But there's another way of looking at it that perhaps is a little simpler and a little easier to use, and this is what Stefan was talking about. To move from being a statist to being an anarcho-capitalist, or to being a voluntarist, or to being a libertarian, you know, whatever term you want to use for it, to being a non-statist, is, can you let go of needing to control other people's lives? Right, and that's essentially it. I mean, when you look at who a statist is and what a statist is and what a statist does, these are people whose existence balances around their need to have control over other people's lives, to interfere in other people's lives. And I think that's a really good, you know, litmus test, to use a label, for are you a statist or not? You know, and of course people, yeah, you know, I love it when I post on Facebook the little meme that says, you know, libertarianism is the belief that other people are not your property. And other people like this, and the people who are liking it are people that I know to be statist. You know, people that I know want to pass laws about what you can do with your body and about what kind of property you can own. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you people? Why are you this fucking disconnected from the fact that I'm talking about you? Right? If you want to make marijuana illegal, you're trying to control other people's lives. You know, if you want prostitution illegal, you're trying to control other people's lives. If you want to stop other people from owning guns, you're trying to control other people's lives. You know, if you want to prevent other people from getting a job without a 9-digit number issued to them by the government, you're trying to control other people's lives. If you want other people to either have to pay taxes or go to prison, you're trying to control other people's lives. And so when you post a video on YouTube talking about how other people should do certain things, and if they don't do those things, they should be put in prison, you're trying to control other people's lives. And when you're trying to control other people's lives, you are a statist. And so yes, I can fucking make a podcast in which I label you as a statist. And for someone to come along and, you know, say, you can't label. No, I fucking can. A statist is a fucking statist. Anybody who wants to control what other people do when those other people are not violating the non-aggression principle and respecting property rights. Again, there's always the exception. If the other person is, for example, trying to rape my mother, at that point, that person is violating the non-aggression principle against my mother, and she is violating my mother's property rights to her body. At that point, I can tell that person what to do. I can control that person's actions. I can tell the person to get his dick out of my mother's body. If he doesn't do it, I can attempt to forcibly remove him from my mother's body. If that doesn't work, I can shoot the motherfucker in the face with a gun. Okay? But other than that, if a person is not violating the non-aggression principle and is not violating another person's property rights, I have no cause whatsoever to attempt to control, manipulate, or force that person to do anything, to not do anything. And if you personally listening to this right now, if you cannot grasp that, and if you think there's any other exception to that, then you are a statist, and you can be labeled as a statist. And if you don't like it, you know, as I always say, if you don't like the labels that people attach to you, instead of attacking the people who are labeling you, why don't you try changing your fucking behavior so that the labels no longer apply to you, right? You call people Obama humpers. Well, they're humping Obama. I mean, every time Obama opens his mouth, these people fucking cream their panties, right? I mean, I've talked in the past about my friend who went to Obama's speech here in Fort Collins, and Obama shook her hand, and she was like, oh, I didn't want to wash my hand. And she'd tell people the story, like, oh, they would say, can I touch your hand where Obama touched you? You know, and you people go, we don't think Obama is a god. Wait a minute, you want to touch somebody who touched Obama, and you're going to tell me that you don't think Obama is a god? Do I really look that fucking stupid? Because your behavior tells me that you think Obama is a god. And I'm not going to pretend you don't, just to avoid hurting your little fucking feelings. Back to YouTube. Let's talk about... I know, and what's great is I didn't even get to, like, the biggest part of my notes. It's fine. It's fine. I'm totally good with that. I watched the documentary Urbanized by Gary Hunsfit. It's part of a trilogy of documentaries he did. I want to talk a little bit about that, but it's a good documentary. You should check it out. Statist, but good. All right. Caitlin Hunt. So the last podcast I did and the last video I posted on YouTube was about Caitlin Hunt. And somebody, some moron, posted a comment on there about how I didn't do any research and how Caitlin Hunt is this nasty, terrible person, and I went to this person's YouTube channel to look at something, and this person has on his YouTube channel this video, which supposedly somebody shot with their cell phone, and it's Caitlin Hunt on the beach having a fight with her sister. Now, as everything does, all of this wraps back around, because as we're talking about this, keep in mind, you know, the internet, keep in mind social media, keep in mind the passage I read where we were talking about the government, the corporations constantly monitoring everybody. So the assertion here that's being made is Caitlin Hunt is this mean, nasty. So, fuck. I know these things, it's like, I'm not even sure where to start with this. Okay. So there's this video on the YouTube, which in theory is Caitlin Hunt. I mean, it's a cell phone shot on a beach. The quality is shitty. You can't really recognize anybody. And so supposedly this is Caitlin Hunt having this vicious fight with her sister. And so what this is supposed to prove is that Caitlin Hunt is this mean, nasty person, right? That she is, in fact, this predatory lesbian who's going out and raping young girls. And she's this evil person. I'm looking at this and thinking, first of all, there's no evidence that the people in this video, that one of them is actually Caitlin Hunt. But second of all, this is part of the problem with the whole internet always watching you, social media thingy bobber. So let's say this was Caitlin Hunt, and let's say she's on the beach and she had this fight with her sister and she punched her sister in the face or whatever she did in the video. I don't even remember because I don't give a fuck because it doesn't matter. This is one moment out of a person's life, right? This is just like the whole drug war thing. So you got some 16-year-old kid, tries marijuana, you know, gets caught with the marijuana, it's on his record. Then for the rest of his life, or maybe you have to be 18, I don't know how this shit works, but you smoke marijuana once in your life, you get caught, this shit will follow you for the rest of your life and will fuck up your life, right? Right. Okay, same thing here. I mean, imagine that, a teenage girl getting in a fight with her teenage sister. I mean, really? Like, that's never happened before. But now, thanks to the miracle of the internet, and thanks to the miracle of constant surveillance, and thanks to the miracle of everybody having a cell phone with a camera. By the way, have you noticed how sightings of ghosts and UFOs have become non-existent now that everybody has a high-definition camera in their pocket? But anyway, so you do something like this. You have a fight with your sister on the beach, and somebody records it. This is now out there for the whole world to see. And this one moment of your life is what people are going to try to use to judge you, right? Talk about taking things out of context. It's just like, you know, and this happens to everybody. It's done to Bush. It's done to Obama. It's done to every human being that's ever appeared on the news. Somebody says something, and the media takes that out of context and twists it to mean something else. Here is this idiot with some cell phone video, which is, you know, 2 minutes out of somebody's life. And this person is trying to use this 2 minute snippet out of a person's life to defame them. And again, as I may have said, and as I say right now, I don't know anything about Caitlin Hunt personally. Caitlin Hunt might be an evil, predatory lesbian who goes out and rapes young girls. She might not be. I don't fucking know. The point is, the moron who put this comment on my YouTube channel is making a judgment about this girl based on 2 fucking minutes of YouTube video that he doesn't even know for a fucking fact is actually her. And this is a fucking scary ass world to live in. Because you know what? The same thing one day is going to happen to you. You're going to post one thing on Facebook and it's going to be taken out of context, and the police are going to knock on your door. You're going to post one thing on YouTube, and it's going to be taken out of context, and the DEA is going to knock on your door. So while you're sucking Obama's cock, and while you're posting your whole life on Facebook, and you're saying, what's the big deal about privacy? Privacy is overrated. Remember, when the government fucking comes for you, maybe you'll get interested in privacy then.